tell you, cool cats and kittens.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 99 of the Ron and Brian podcast. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who has shaved himself down completely, trying to be pure again, Brian. Brian, glad to see you made it to another week, my friend.
I've survived. I am breathing. I am not in a refrigerated van parked behind the hospital.
That's all you can hope for these days. Literally all you can hope for these days. All right. Well, are we ready to toast one another?
Yeah.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Drink of the week. Drink of the week.
All right, Brian, what are you tossing back this week?
I've got some vitamin water.
Again?
I am on 17 days without an alcoholic drink.
That is fairly impressive. Triple X vitamin water still?
Yep. I'm all about the whatever the fuck this is.
You're all about the antioxidants.
Yeah, whatever.
All right. Well, I was out and about today. I had to go pick up my taxes from my accountant today. So I stopped at our good friends at Broken Goblet Brewing because they are doing curbside pickup of their beers. I ordered a crowler of their Hazenberg Hazy IPA. This is a nice little IPA, tapping in at 6.4%. It is a dry hopped Lemon Drop, Citra, Galaxy, and Calypso hops. So some nice flavor in there. And this particular one, they conditioned it on Fruity Pebbles.
What does that mean, conditioned it on Fruity Pebbles?
So I believe conditioning means once it's brewed and everything, you just basically pour Fruity Pebbles into it and let it sit and take on some of that flavor profile. So let me just get a sip here.
Well, that sounds like a fancier way of saying that it's been infused, like a biotanical, if you would. Or a botanical, which I believe is the word I was going for. I think I was going for botanical. What are we talking here? Let's give us a review.
I mean, I'm not getting the fruit necessarily from the Fruity Pebbles because it's got a real nice citrusy taste to it from all these hops. I mean, okay. It's a great spring summer beer, very drinkable. I will easily put down all 32 ounces of this during my time here.
Now, is that what a growler consists of, 32 ounces?
I mean, that is what their growlers consist of. I'll show you the can, my friend, and I'll take a picture of this and put it up on our Instagram.
That's just a big-ass can.
It's just a big-ass can, exactly.
It's two beers.
It's two beers, right. But that way, okay. It's you know, you don't need to have a growler, per se. You just have a growler. And they make it so nice and easy. They have a website set up. If you go to the Broken Goblet Facebook page, you can find it there. You place an order before 10 o'clock at night. You can pick your beer up the next day between 3 and 7. Very contact free.
How do they know to bring it to you?
When you get there, you can either call them when you get there, or they've got a little tent set up outside. They'll come out, they'll ask you your name, bring it out, put it in your car for you. Again, we know the guys at Broken Goblet do it right.
They definitely do.
And, even got myself a new Broken Goblet drinking glass while I was there, too.
Very nice. Very fancy. Speaking of fancy, the morgues in New York City are so overrun that the hospitals are now contracting refrigerated trucks to park themselves outside of the hospital so that when people pass away of coronavirus, knowing that there's no place to put them anymore in the hospital or the morgue, they are literally just using a forklift to bring them over to the refrigerated truck where they are just dumping bodies for who knows however long.
All right. Well, good to see you're in a good positive mood today. You're in a good place, so I'm happy to see that.
I'm really glad, Ron, that you got a new beer glass. it makes me so happy that I watched a video earlier today during the news of them forklifting a body into a refrigerated truck because there was no other place to put it. And in your world, you got a nice, colorful beer. It brings me joy to know that there is still a place in this world, relatively not that far away from the hell that is New York, where we have lost, just within the past 24 hours, 250 human beings to the deadly coronavirus. But it's so nice to know that so close to here, the hell that we are living through, you are the small things in life, like a new beer glass, is something that can put a smile on your face.
I'm glad you're happy for me. That's all I can say.
I'm very happy for you, Ron.
I will say this.
You know who I'm not happy for?
Who's that?
The family of the person that they forklifted into the refrigerated truck, because they're not letting families in any way interact with with the coronavirus patients. They're not allowed to go visit them. So all the communication is done through a phone call or whatnot. So it's quite possible the family of the people that they are trucking into these vans, they may not even be aware that their loved one has passed away yet.
Listen, without a doubt, incredibly tragic out there. That's why you may not have drank for 17 straight days. I literally have drank for 17 straight days at this point. And I foresee my drinking continuing well into the future.
Okay, very good.
One other thing that, again, I know it was talked about on the news the last couple of days, but I'm driving up U.S. Route 1 to go to my accountant's, and they've got those, the road signs that they put the different messages on, and the message that was being sent out on all of these road signs today was informing any New York City residents traveling into Pennsylvania that you should be self-quarantining for 14 days. So, we all heard about the travel restrictions that are being put into place for residents of New York City. Really drove it home that here I am, a good hour and a half, 2-hour drive from New York City, and the state of Pennsylvania is like, hey, you know what? Get the fuck out, New York City residents.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The ironic part of all this is that it's already in your neighborhood.
It is. Without question,
it is. I saw today that the Temple University Arena has been retrofitted to become a hospital bed overflow center.
Yes.
So it's already in Philadelphia, and you're much more likely to get it from the communal spread from Philadelphia than from a New Yorker in their car driving through town.
And even more ironically, it's when This Week in Racism is actually an uplifting topic compared to what we're talking about.
This week in
racism.
Well, Brian, I know this will probably disappoint you, but your man Hans Berglund, going down to defeat against our new champion, Ricky Forbito, clean sweep, 100% of the vote. So Hans gets knocked out before he can get his third win. Would you like to make one last diehard reference in honor of Hans?
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker. I'd like, if you do remember, last week I called for Hans Gruber to go down as John McClane let go of his hand in this most recent round of Racist of the Week. I felt that there was absolutely no way that he could compare to the vitriol that was being spewed out by the challenger.
All right. Well, you were correct. Ricky Forbito is our winner. No challenger this week, as we have seen these past few weeks with shelter in place, self-quarantining, social distancing. Haven't been seeing a lot of videotaped racism out there. I'm sure it's just a matter of time. People are slowly becoming powder kegs as they are quarantined in their house, not able to go places. So I am sure in the next week or so, we will find a challenger for Mr. Furbito.
If you feel like you're not getting enough good quality video, I would recommend that you go on to some of the websites, whether it's NY1, whether it's WABC, Channel 7, NBC4, because I believe they all have video of a forklift literally on the streets outside of a hospital, literally carrying a human corpse towards a refrigerated truck because there's no more room for corpses in the hospitals and the New York City morgue is currently overrun. So if you feel like, oh, woe is me, there's not enough good video content out there, I'll just make a suggestion. You know, I'm pretty sure you can go on even Twitter and maybe find a link to it.
So are you saying that the forklift driver is a racist?
No, I'm saying there's absolutely no link to the concept of racism in that video. It doesn't matter whether that person is Asian, African-American, Hispanic-American, Filipino-American, Laotian-American, Vietnamese-American, Nigerian-American, French-American.
All right, so moving on.
Brian's Beef of the Week.
So I feel I already know the answer to this, but Brian, what's bothering you this week?
Wow. Honestly, if I had to pick something more than other things, it has nothing to do with the fact that there are refrigerated trucks with human corpses outside of hospitals right now. Like, I'll actually stick to the bit. It is the blacklisting of New York City residents as the possible source of the spread of coronavirus. You've got, you know, you just mentioned how there are signs on the highways. You've got Rhode Island, the governor of Rhode Island announcing that she was going to go door to door knocking to see if there were any recent people from New York to make sure that they knew not to go out for 2 weeks. Or earlier this week, President Trump floated the idea of a complete quarantine of New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. And what I'm seeing happen is that you've got these government agencies that, instead of accepting the reality, which is that this disease is already in their town, they are looking to scapegoat to try and sit there and say later on, oh, it wasn't in our neighborhood until New Yorkers came, and New Yorkers are the ones that brought it here, and it's all New York's fault, and we're going to blame them. It's, you know, heaven forbid it had nothing to do with our inability to socially distance from our neighbors and our friends or whatnot. But let's just start pointing fingers at New York and saying that no matter what happens from here, we're just going to blame it on New Yorkers that came to town. That's my beef.
A fair beef, I would say so. And wouldn't you say the governor of Rhode Island should have better things to do with her time than going door to door?
The way I see it is she's looking for a scapegoat. She's looking for a way to say, no, we did nothing wrong here. It's those people that brought this plague to us.
All right. Well, you're still okay in my book, Brian. I want you to know that.
I am right now, but that's until we start talking about whether you went to how you handled yourself when you went over to your tax guy today. We talked about it yesterday. And there was a little difference of opinion, so maybe we'll talk about that later.
All right. So my beef is, what is falling under the category of essential businesses that remain open? So first off, a little aggravated that Pennsylvania is one of the few states that determined that their liquor stores were not essential and closed them down. I believe most other states are open. But and I didn't want to become this guy, but I have, because there was like this argument on our local Facebook page the other day, because someone had gone out to the local bagel shop, picked up a takeout order, and was like, hey, just wanted to shout out to fill a bagel, got a bagel, blah, blah, blah. And people were like, is that really an essential business? And I was like, yeah, I could see that. They serve food, what have you. But restaurant. Now I'm seeing like Dairy Queens are open. Like Rita's Water Ice opened up, and you just see people just lining up, not practicing social distancing. So I would, you know, again, would Water Ice necessarily be considered an essential business?
What the fuck is Water Ice?
You don't know what water ice? You don't know what Water Ice is?
No,
it's flavored ice, my friend. And you go, you get, I'm a fan of the lemon. If they have the lime, I'll go that way. And then, yeah, you can get some gelato there. You can get some custard.
Is that what we call like the Italian ice?
Yeah. I mean, it's not quite the same as Italian ice, but it's a similar concept. You've never had water ice? I'll take you to get some. I can't believe I've given you a cheesesteak. I've given you a roast pork sandwich, but I've never given you a water ice.
You realize that you named two of the three physical forms of water.
Yes.
Like water and ice.
Yes.
It's the same. They're not the same. Like, how can it?
I'm not the person who named them. And if you want to change your beef of the week, that's fine. But you've already beefed, and so now you can't beef about water ice. You can put a pin in that, and you can beef about it next week.
Oh, there's a pin.
But anyway, am I wrong in that there are essential businesses and then there are businesses that maybe fall under the essential category that don't necessarily need to be open?
Listen, I work in an industry that was deemed essential all the way through last Friday.
Is it still deemed essential?
It is no longer deemed essential. Right. If there are certain types of projects, which are, for those that are, you know, close personal friends, they know I work in the construction industry. So the only types of construction jobs that can continue right now are healthcare related and affordable housing related. Okay. Other than that, there's no construction. All construction activity must come to a complete halt. So I consider myself fortunate that my company was operating and was able to make money all the way through, you know, as recently as Friday. Now we're going to see what we can do. But, you know, to a certain extent, you know, I think the people that worked in those essential businesses that you could probably argue otherwise, you know, they were able to put some money in their pocket when a lot of people are looking for handouts.
It was interesting you talk about construction. Apparently, New Jersey has not made the same change that New York has, because there was a caller on the Stern Show this morning who is a subcontractor in New Jersey and was talking about, like, he's literally afraid to go on the job, to have his people go on the job, but he's in a situation where the GC is like, listen, we're still an essential business. You don't show up, you're not going to get paid. Not only are you not going to get paid, I'm going to bill you for any penalties that I get if this project falls behind schedule.
Absolutely. And you know what, I mean, you know what it was that in New York that caused them to flip-flop on construction was that there was a article in the New York Times where they were interviewing a guy upstate who was building a McDonald's.
Mm.
And the guy said, listen, you know, there's absolutely no way that you can look at a McDonald's that is being built and saying that this is essential to quality of life in New York State. And I don't feel safe showing up to the job site. Blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, construction in New York shut down. So
kudos to the failing New York Times. Not just fake news. They'll actually throw in a good story from time to time.
Mm. Hey, thanks.
Mm. What else is going on? Well, what everyone is talking about, and no, It's not forklifts moving bodies to refrigerated trucks outside of New York hospitals. It is what I think might be the ultimate in American cinema, in documentary history, Tiger King. All the rage on Netflix right now. I know you burned through it. I burned through it. Everyone's going crazy for the Tiger King. Brian, what did you like most about the documentary?
I would say that I think it's the flavor of the month.
Fair.
You know, I don't know that it is the best thing that's ever come out. I think that we literally live in this. This is a bad pun, but we're literally I was about to say a carnivorous, but I kept saying carnivorous in my head, and I just was like, fuck, I can't come up with the word.
Well, I say documentary instead of documentary sometimes, so, you know, go with it.
We're even. But it's just the fact that it's we're in this society where it's just like we are eating up content left and right. So I think it's the flavor of the week now. It'll last for a couple more weeks, and then Netflix will come out with something else.
I think what also is impressive with this documentary is, you know, you get introduced to Joe Exotic right away, the self-proclaimed Tiger King, and he is clearly a unique individual. But then as you start to meet more of the people involved in this entire story, whether it's people that work in his park, people that work at other parks, you know, friends, you know, antagonists, what have you, everybody is a nut job. Like, everybody is unique. Everybody is, or people are just like right off the charts. You know, you find out right away that, you know, Joe Exotic is gay. And then, you know, later in the first episode, you meet his husband, John Finley.
Of 12 years.
It's
not even like that was a recent relationship. I mean, that was a long-term relationship.
Someone who did not have as strong a relationship with his teeth as most of them are gone. But a man who apparently was not gay prior to meeting Joe Exotic, but, you know, some meth and the ability to pet some tigers. Apparently there's no such thing as a straight man.
The thing to me is they start off by introducing you to Joe Exotic, and you sit there and go, this may be the weirdest person I've ever met. And then as they start broadening the social circle around him, you realize that, albeit, yes, he is one of the weirdest people you've come across, but it also makes you, is that everybody in that world is completely batshit insane.
Yes.
Like, there's, like, none of the people that they introduce to you in this documentary, none of them can you walk away and say, seems fairly normal, head on the shoulders. Okay, yeah. No, everybody is fucking crazy. And that bitch, Carol Baskin.
So Carol Baskin, just for a point of reference, runs a big cat rescue, a sanctuary in Tampa, Florida, and made it her life's mission to try and shut down Joe Exotic. And then you find out that her first husband disappeared under extremely fishy circumstances.
Oh, I like that. Fishy circumstances, you know, because we all know that if you want to get a tiger to eat a person, is that you just cover them in sardine oil.
And she knew way too easily how to make a tiger eat somebody.
Yes. So the thing is the fact that she is probably, from a societal perspective, the most normal person in that show. But you realize that she's doing the exact same thing that Joe Exotic, that Doc Antle, the North Carolina Big Tiger Zoo competitor. Like, she's doing the exact same thing those guys are doing, but somehow she's doing it under the air of a non-exploitative environment, which is just full of horseshit as much as everyone else.
Well, you know, it definitely is pointed out how everybody that works for her works for free. They're all considered free internships. And she charges a good amount of money for people to come in and be able to look at these tigers. The big thing is she doesn't allow anyone to pet the tigers or to pet the cubs like some of these other zoos did. What was interesting, I was on their website earlier today, and you used to be able to pull up information about their ticket prices, which apparently it was for one person to go through. Well, I'll ask you a question, Brian. If you're going to go into a big cat sanctuary, knowing that some of the funds were going to go help the animals in the sanctuary, what would you consider a reasonable ticket price for you to go in for a one-hour tour?
Oh, one-hour tour?
One-hour tour.
$45.
$45. Well, it is $200 for the first person, and then an additional $50 for each additional person in your party. But now that is gone. For whatever reason, that's gone off of their website. The links that used to show you how to meet the cats and the links that used to be able to buy tickets mysteriously don't go anywhere now.
Now, when you say links, you mean the cat? Or do you mean the hyperlink?
I mean the hyperlink.
Okay, just making sure.
But kudos that pun. I didn't even think of that.
Holy, I cannot believe it was that expensive.
But you want to know what else is interesting? Because I was doing a little legwork today because I got the time. And they have a 4-star rating on Charity Navigator, which is the highest rating you can get. And they also have a 100% transparency score on there as well. They're the highest rated animal sanctuary on Charity Navigator. When you look at, there is a lot of money in play there. They bring in about $4 million a year, a lot of which goes towards the care of the animals and programs and things of that nature. Not to pay the staff. And Carol only takes a salary. Again, this is according to IRS filings. Carol takes a salary of $55,000 a year, and her husband takes a salary of $62,000 a year, which does not seem outrageous to me.
Well, I mean, she's independently wealthy. There's no need for her to take
that
salary.
If she killed her first husband, it kind of throws all that out the window.
Correct. Can we talk about the moment that my whole viewpoint on this entire world changed?
I would love to hear that.
The Walmart meat truck.
Ooh, yes.
I can't get past it.
So one of the funny parts, not funny, but it just kind of shows you the comparison between Joe and some of these other exotic zoo operators out there. You had Doc Antle up in North Carolina, who also had this huge zoo, and he's talking mm-hmm. about how it cost him about $10,000 a month to feed an adult tiger, each one that he has. And then they flash over to Joe, and Joe is like, I can feed a tiger for $3,000 a month. And part of how he does this is he gets discarded meat from the local Walmart, like literally garbage cans full of it. And one thing I never realized, like they talk about how, like, let's say you're shopping at your Walmart and you pick a thing of chicken breast out of the cooler, you put it in your cart, you go up to the register, and then you end up not buying it for whatever reason. They have to throw that away. I didn't realize they did not restock that. But anyway, it would be that kind of meat. It would be expired meat. So they would bring these truckloads of this Walmart meat in, and then the people who worked for Joe, some of which were made anywhere from $100 to $150 a week, would get first dibs on this Walmart meat, and then the rest of it would go to feed the animals.
I was so horrified watching Joe Exotic's employees excitedly going through the bins in the Walmart truck and discovering that there were meat products that were still frozen, that they were like, oh, we got dinner now. And it was so, and it was the first moment where I realized the level of exploitation of labor that was going on within this world. And we're somehow, I mean, as a tangent here, but later on in the series, Joe introduces a pizza cafe at his zoo, because that was going to be a way that he was going to increase revenue, was to, while you're at the zoo, well, you know, if you get hungry, stop by the cafe and you can get one of his world famous Joe Exotic meat pizzas. And it is obvious that the meat that they're using on these pizzas is from the Walmart meat truck.
And you know, the one thing, and it just kind of jumped into my mind as you're talking about that, they also show him he made Thanksgiving dinner or Christmas yep. dinner, one or the other, for like 150 yep. people. Now I'm starting to wonder, where did that food come from?
I don't know. Like, you can't, how do you trust any of that shit?
Right.
And it was so horrifying to me to see a world where you've got somebody who is purchasing these expired meats so that he could cheaply feed his animals, and then somehow has figured out a way to siphon this food for his employees and then his customers.
This is what I think about too when I think about Joe Exotic, is there's obviously something wrong with the man, whether it's a mental illness or he's just evil or whatever. But like, you look at what he was able to do in the arena that he was in. Here's a guy where if he had just done something normal, he ran for office a number of times, received like a ridiculous percentage of the vote for governor, like a man with who can talk to anybody, who has a natural charisma that draws people in. If he wasn't insane, he could have done some great things. But instead, oh, yeah. I think he let, and from the looks of it, when he first got into opening this zoo, it looked like he was trying to do it for the right reasons, to try and, you know, help tigers that were, you know, being held as pets and shouldn't have been. And then I think the fame and the money just really went to his head and just corrupted yes. him like it does so many people.
Well, the idea is the fact that he had, you know, the idea of running a zoo wasn't big enough for him. It wasn't putting enough of a spotlight on him. Like when he opened the zoo, it was about the animals and bringing attention to these majestic creatures. But then it became, no, this has got to be about me. Because by the time that the documentary starts in these people's lives, he has been running a one-man online TV program for a couple years now. So it was, you know, it suddenly was about, you know, him making himself a media personality. And let's not forget the incredible two albums that he put out. Do we have any of it lined up to play?
Well, of course, there is the classic, I Saw a Tiger.
Tell all the hunters to lay down their guns. Tell them that the tiger...
These really aren't as good without the video to go along.
Let 'em run the jungle. Let 'em roam their land.
And there's no way he's saying this isn't that guy his voice.
No, no way in hell.
What a beautiful cat.
Chorus.
I saw a tiger. Now I understand. I saw a tiger.
Tiger Souls, man. I mean, not altogether horrible. Like, not the worst country song that you've ever heard.
Which is how you know he had nothing to do with it, because there was absolutely nothing schlocky about these songs. Whereas everything that he touched was schlock.
Now
the videos of these are schlock. Like if you're not watching, and there's also, what was it? Hey Kitty Kitty.
Here Kitty Kitty.
Oh.
This Which is, one, you really need to see the video for this one.
This is his diss track against that bitch, Carole Baskin.
Yes. Too much of an intro, you know, you gotta like, what was it, Post and Hammock they used to tell you, or Talk to the Post and Radio?
She was a rich woman, she had rich taste, she felt the blood running through her veins. She liked the life she had, she loved her big cats and the beauty of being untamed.
So now, this really you need to see the video, because he wrote this about Carole Baskin's and how she allegedly killed her husband. Yes.
I thought we spoke about it. You're not allowed to say Carole Baskin without starting it with the phrase, that bitch.
So he wrote this about that bitch, Carole Haskins, about her killing her husband. And I will say this. You watch the video and you believe that he got Carole, that bitch, Carole Baskin, to appear in the video. That is how much the woman he found to be in this video looks like that bitch, yes. Carole Baskin. And he... Yes. is in a priest outfit for some unknown reason, which I still don't understand. And she is feeding, meat to a tiger, which is supposedly her husband. It is one of the most off the walls, insane things that I've ever seen. But yeah, hard to believe that an article came out stating that Joe did not sing on his albums. But we'll share the YouTube links on our social media as well, because you really got to, especially the Here Kitty Kitty. If you don't see the video, you don't get the full effect.
And then we are introduced to Jeff Lowe.
Yeah, so Jeff Lowe, the quote unquote angel investor that comes in and helps out Joe when Joe has lost a multi-million dollar lawsuit to that bitch, Carole Baskin, and doesn't have the money to keep his zoo operating. So Jeff comes in and, I guess, for lack of a better term, swindles the zoo away from Joe.
I don't know that swindles is really the word.
Okay.
The way the documentary makes it seem is that in an effort to not have the zoo be part of any type of legal recuperation from the Baskins, is that Joe Exotic voluntarily puts the zoo in Jeff Lowe's name.
Right. The thought process being that Carole Baskin would then need to restart all of her lawsuits if the zoo was in somebody else's name.
If she wants the zoo. So how is that swindling?
There's just something about Jeff Lowe that seems illegal to me. I think my favorite Jeff Lowe meme I've seen so far is someone had a picture of him and said, you know, if gas station erection pills were a person. And it's true, because he's married, but clearly he and his wife swing. He's got money, yet we never really find out how he has money.
Get a sense that he's one of those dudes that's leveraged to the hilt, spending money before he makes it.
And I know one of the times that my wife was ready to like reach the TV and choke him out was, they were talking to him and his wife was pregnant, and she was talking about how she was just about to give birth, and he was like, yeah, then she can get back in the gym then. And it's like, dude, your fucking pregnant wife is right there, and you're talking to her about. And then we start seeing the nanny that he's going to bring in. Like this smoke total show. Smoke show, without question. And do you feel that maybe Jeff set Joe up as far as this whole murder for hire thing? Oh yeah, absolutely. We even get to that part. So Joe apparently hires somebody to kill that bitch, Carole Baskin.
That bitch. That we've been talking about this for 20 minutes, and we didn't even discuss the murder for hire plot.
We didn't even get to the part where he tries to have her killed, apparently. And then the hitman just doesn't go through with it. So then James Gerritsen, who is this other overweight Chucky doll looking guy, sets him up to talk to a second hitman who's actually an FBI informant. And yeah, it did not end well for Joe. Joe gets 22 years in prison. But again, I don't feel either Joe's the dumbest man on the planet, which I don't think is the case. He seems to be very shrewd in a lot of ways, or he just really thought that he got to the point where he felt he was invincible and literally could just have somebody killed and he would just walk away scot-free.
Yeah, I think that he had lost touch with the line between what you want and what you can legally do.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of got a sense that that the zoo was his kingdom because he could just make rules and he had all these people following that. I think he just took it to the outside world.
Yeah. I mean, and again, we're not even touching on everything in this documentary. We're not talking about his third husband, Travis Maldonado, who accidentally killed himself because he didn't feel a Ruger could shoot without a clip in it. We're not talking about
Let's not forget one of my favorite scenes in the entire documentary,
all right,
which is Travis's funeral.
Oh, well, again, where Joe is wearing his priest outfit again, because, much more appropriate in this setting.
Because you can't just wear a priest outfit once. No. You've got to hold on to it for the next time this becomes useful. So, first off, Joe decides he's going to lip sync to one of his songs.
Yep.
Then, in front of Travis's mother and, I guess, sister, Joe Exotic decides that he's going to tell the heartwarming story about how Travis used to love rubbing his balls across Joe's face when he wasn't expecting it.
I mean, you know, funerals are for memories, Brian. One thing you have to say about Joe. Joe had an outfit for every situation. He's got the priest outfit for the funeral. When one of his zoo employees got her arm ripped off by a tiger, he's got the EMT jacket on automatically going over there to take care of business. Like, he really did have an outfit for every occasion. Just genius. I do admire the wardrobe.
Now, have you finished this now?
I have finished this, yes.
Okay. Did you see the scene where he goes into his bedroom to change for his date with his final boyfriend?
Dylan, his the guy he married 2 months after Travis killed himself?
His bedroom is literally just covered in fucking clothes.
Oh, his entire home looks like an episode of Hoarders.
True.
With tigers involved.
Yes. And, you know, he goes in there to change. Like, there's literally just, like, closets overflowing with shit. And by that point, the meat truck had so soured me on most of these people as human beings that, like, when I saw him, like, you know, try to, like, meet somebody new, I'm like, he's a sexual predator. Like,
oh, yeah. You know, without question.
He would have one of his spotters, Hank, drive by the bus station once a day to see if there were any young males hanging out outside that had been dropped off on the bus that he could hire for the zoo. Meanwhile, he would immediately start getting them all hopped up on meth, 200 tigers, and we all know what happens after that.
Like, yep. Ain't no one straight when you got meth and tigers involved. And I think probably one of the saddest things for me is the information at the end where there are more tigers living in captivity today than there are tigers in the wild. And that feels very wrong to me. It does not seem like an animal that should be kept as a pet. One of many that should be not kept as a pet.
Did they say what the ratio was? Because I'm wondering how.
So they don't have they don't have exact numbers on it, obviously, because there's a lot of states where it's illegal. But they said that there are somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 tigers living in captivity, living as pets, and 4,000 tigers in the wild.
So you're saying it's like a 4-to-5 ratio?
I'm saying it's like possibly a 2-to-1 ratio.
That's still better than the ratio of coronavirus victims in New York City that are currently, whose corpses are currently being housed in refrigerated trucks parked outside of hospitals because there's no place to send them to because our morgue is overflowing with corona victims.
All right, that's fair. That's fair. Well, obviously, we've gone 45 minutes without talking about coronavirus, with the exception of Brian. But let's obviously get some updates on coronavirus. Brian, I'm going to play some audio here for you.
Can I just sing the bumper?
Please,
got the bumper.
Go for it.
I saw coronavirus. Coronavirus saw man. 'Cause I saw coronavirus. Now I understand. And I saw coronavirus. And that bitch Carol Baskin.
All right, I'll have to pull that for the following week. So I'm going to play a little clip for you here. This is Governor Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, appearing on Fox News the other night talking about a cruise ship coming into port in Florida. Want to get your take on the governor's comments, Brian.
There's this cruise ship that cut through the Panama Canal and is supposed to land there in Fort Lauderdale. Is that going to happen? Because I know a lot of Floridians are really worried about that because there are a lot of people that are infected on the cruise ship.
And not only that, I mean, I think a lot of these are foreigners. And so we've done a really good job of working to clear hospital space. So I think we have almost 33% of the beds in Florida are available right now, particularly in South Florida. We've set up field hospitals just in case you had a surge. We cannot afford to have people who aren't even Floridians dumped into South Florida using up those valuable resources. And so I'm in contact with the White House on this. I'm in contact with local county officials in both Broward and Miami-Dade. But yes, we view this as a big, big problem, and we do not want to see people dumped in Southern Florida right now.
Brian, your thoughts on the governor's statement?
I get his logic.
I get the logic, but can you look at a person as being something being dumped on you just because they're not? And again, he's not even saying I only want Floridians being taken care of. He's basically saying anyone who's not an American citizen, I don't want to be burdened with.
I didn't hear him say that.
Well, he talks about, he said he was concerned about the foreigners on the ship.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. All right, so he did say that. He's a scumbag. But where I was going to say he can go fuck himself is the fact that he's still refusing to close beaches.
Oh, yeah.
In his state. Despite the fact that South Florida and the state as a whole is seeing its coronavirus cases skyrocket, he is still refusing to put into effect calls for social distancing. Meanwhile, here's a guy who decides he's going to draw the line at a cruise ship where it's got people with coronavirus. But somehow his own state, he is seeing a spike, a surge in cases, and he's doing nothing about it. Once again, this goes back to what I said earlier, which is the fact that you're going to have politicians that are going to be sitting there saying, you know, if it was only us people, we would have had this handled. But it was all the fucking, you know, people that came in from insert, you know, threatening location. In this case, this guy's pointing out foreigners and non-Floridian, but it's already in his state. It is already spreading, and he's not doing a goddamn thing to do anything about that.
No, I mean, you have governors like him. You have governors, I want to say, South Carolina, Alabama. I believe it was Missouri. The governor said there that, you know, they signed an executive order that citizens could ignore directives from their local government about this. you know, Trump isn't the only one killing people out there with bad information and bad suggestions.
But he's setting the tone. I genuinely feel like these other politicians, and they're almost all conservative, they're almost all Republican, they're all taking their cues from him.
And did you see the latest train wreck of a press conference today, where he's got the CEO of MyPillow come up to give a talk because apparently the MyPillow guy has converted his factory to making masks. All right, honorable enough, making some masks. But the MyPillow guy, apart from getting a free commercial for a few minutes at this press conference, decides to go off the cuff at the end of his talk here.
God gave us grace on November 8, 2016 to change the course we were on. God had been taken out of our schools and lives. A nation had turned its back on God. And I encourage you to use this time at home to get back in the Word, read our Bibles, and spend time with our families. Our president gave us so much hope, where just a few short months ago, we had the best economy, the lowest unemployment, and wages going up. It was amazing. With our great president, vice president, and this administration, and all the great people in this country praying daily, we will get through this and get back to a place that's stronger and safer than ever.
First off, the dude's got a lot of phlegm going on. It's a little disconcerting. But here is a man who is basically looked at as a fraud. I mean, horrible Better Business Bureau ranking, horrible pillows that he sells.
But he's one of the largest advertisers on Fox News.
Right, exactly. So
his ads are run nonstop about the great quality of his. That's the only reason why he's there right now.
And
fucking Trump, who watches hours of that shit uninterrupted, is just like, I know them right now.
But we talk about, you know, how government is killing people. Religion is killing people too, because they are giving people false hope. We played some Kenneth Copeland the other week. He went on his TV show again, another classic rant against coronavirus. We have right here for you. We do not have right here for you. We're going to have for you right now.
Mother, why is this not working?
Hold on.
Do we need to talk to our producer?
Our producer needs to be fired.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God, I execute judgment on you, COVID-19.
Oh,
I execute judgment on you, Satan. You destroyer. You killer. You get out. You break your power. You get off this nation. I demand judgment on you. I demand a vaccination to come immediately.
Yes.
I call you done.
No,
I call you gone. You come down from your place of authority, destroyer. You come down and you crawl on your belly like God commanded you when he put his foot on your head in the Garden of Eden. You will destroy through COVID-19.
No more.
Is finished.
Finished.
It is over. And the over. United States of America is healed and well again.
And the scary part of that is there is a shit ton of people out there that will believe that and go back to their everyday lives because of it.
Well, that's because Pastor Jackass has decided that, you know, he's just ordered evil to come down from its place of destruction. And it's all done now. I mean, we're all good.
Yeah.
I can rest assured now. You know what? Now, all those refrigerated vehicles that are parked outside hospitals, being loaded up with corpses. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Those could just go back to where they came from.
And we've got a ton of stories over the past week about this, going down to Tampa, home of Big Cat Rescue and that bitch, Carol Baskins. The River Church in Tampa, Pastor Rodney Howard Brown, refusing to close his congregation, saying that they brought in all these machines that will basically kill every virus in the place. But you've got people elbow to elbow, hundreds of them, this past Sunday. Thankfully, he was actually arrested today. By a local sheriff who said the preacher was putting his followers' lives at risk. So he was booked on misdemeanor charges of unlawful assembly and violation of public health rules. So
good.
Hopefully that will prevent him from doing anything moving forward. Liberty University, as we know, founded by the Falwell family, decided to resume classes against other people's recommendations. Now, 12 confirmed cases of coronavirus among students of Liberty University since they returned. And we don't like to take pleasure in the passing of people, but there are some that you feel is kind of ironic. We have a pastor in Virginia. I believe the man's name was Landon Spradlin. Basically, he had said all of this about the pandemic was a result of, quote, mass hysteria from the media. He is amongst one of the first in Virginia to die from the coronavirus. And then going down.
Amen.
Going down to Louisiana, we've got another pastor, Ronnie Hampton, of a church in Shreveport, Louisiana, about a week ago, said that coronavirus was not that big of a deal. It was a test of the faithful and that people should not be afraid of it. He also.
I cast you out.
He also is dying evil from the coronavirus now.
Amen.
So
anybody, anyone else we can celebrate?
not for that. We'll keep an eye on how many more religious people die because of their own vanity or stupidity.
I genuinely believe that if you say inaccurate information to that puts the general public, supposedly the people that you care the most about, your parishioner, if you say things that put their lives in jeopardy because you want to take a pulpit and you want to make it a form of don't listen to science, then you know what? I celebrate your death.
Well, and I think people need to be held responsible for their actions. The death. I think, you know, for politicians, for example, it should not be a case of where you just lose your position, you lose your job. You know, people need to be held responsible for the information you give, whether you're a politician, whether you are a religious person, whether you are a news network. If you are spreading disinformation that results in the death of individuals, you should be held accordingly responsible for it.
Oh, we at the Ron and Brian podcast, we are keeping a list of names of people, and we are expecting when the day of retribution comes, that these people will pay the price.
Now, we did have some deaths this past week that we did want to mention. As always, we do like to hit on celebrity obituaries from time to time, and there were a plethora of them this past week, starting with our one non-coronavirus death. Director Stuart Gordon passed away at age 72, probably best known as the filmmaker behind such cult classics as Reanimator and From Beyond. Reanimator, one of my favorites when I was a high school kid. Did you ever see the movie Reanimator?
Never connected with it. Watched it. Everybody was just like, it's the greatest thing. And I just couldn't, I didn't see what was the value there.
So you don't enjoy a movie where a disembodied live head performs oral sex at a woman?
Yeah, I thought it was silly.
All right.
Even at the time when I should have enjoyed it the most.
Wow.
Yes, it seems silly.
I'm going to have to reevaluate my relationship with you.
I saw a reanimated head. Foreman Orville says.
But coronavirus claimed quite a few celebrities this week, starting with Terrence McNally, Tony-winning playwright, dying at 81 of coronavirus complications. He won back-to-back Tony Awards for his dramas Love, Valor, Compassion in 95 and Masterclass in 96, also earning Tonys for the musicals Kiss of the Spider-Woman and Ragtime. Just last year, accepting a Tony Award for Lifetime Achievement in Theater. Moving to the food world, Top Chef master Floyd Cardoz passing away at the age of 59 after testing positive for the coronavirus. Let's see who else. Today, New York neurosurgeon who separated conjoined twins, Dr. James T. Goodrich. He actually separated twins Jaden and Anus McDonald years ago. Made headlines for that when he allowed CNN inside that operation. Died today based on complications related to COVID-19. And then also country music star Joe Diffie passing away at the age of 61 from complications. Joe Diffie, best known, of course, for Pickup Man.
You can set my truck on fire and roll it down a hill, and I still wouldn't trade it for a Coupe de Ville. I got an 8-foot bed that never has to be made. You know, if it weren't for trucks, we wouldn't have tailgates. I met all my wives in traffic jams, or just something women like about a pickup man.
Brian, I know you were a huge Joe Diffie fan. You saw him in concert many times. How are you holding up with this news?
I couldn't tell the Diffie between Joe Diffie and Joe Exotic.
All right. They do look very much alike, although Joe Diffie cut his hair a little shorter than Joe Exotic.
It's probably a wise move career, you know, from a career perspective.
I mean, it is, you know, you have to kind of wrap your brain around, like, you know, where is entertainment, where is music going to go? I mean, you've got all these artists that are now secluded. You know, are they creating the next great album, movie, screenplay, play, whatever, versus what is being taken out of the world by people that are being impacted and dying or sickened by this virus?
Well, we're going to find out in about 2 years from now, because, you know, we all know that you are working on the great American novel.
As well as the great American Broadway play.
What was the plot of it?
All I will say is the title is Pandemic, the Musical. And I just need to still, first I need to learn how to write music. And then once I do that, I need to learn how to write lyrics. And then I need to learn how to put those together into the format of a Broadway play.
You can do it.
Or I may just Joe Exotic it and just let someone else do it and take credit for it.
Ghost Rider. I saw a tiger, and tiger saw mine.
So good.
I saw a tiger, now I understand. And Carol Baskin killed her husband, and we miss that man.
That bitch, Carol Baskins.
That bitch, Carol Baskin.
And one thing I will say, this is the amazing thing about Joe Exotic, is I think everyone can do a Joe Exotic impersonation. He just has one of those voices where you're just like, well, I don't know, but that bitch, Carol Baskin's got to die. She's just trying to take my zoo away from me, so someone's got to go put a bullet in her head while she's riding down the bicycle path.
And that guy had an arsenal on his property.
Oh, my Lord. And that was the thing, like, and this is the other thing, like, I forgot this whole fucking part, where he's getting, what was it, Theramite, whatever that explosive was?
Yeah, Theramite, I believe it was.
He would go to Walmart and buy, like, 100 rounds of ammunition over the counter, and then buy this explosive over the counter, which I guess apparently is designed to explode when you shoot it, and would just blow shit up on his property just randomly. And just anybody can walk off the street and buy this stuff.
You are talking about a Walmart in Oklahoma. That's the culture that they are trying to cultivate.
Don't try and take away my Theramite, Brian. I will run for president, and you will not take away my Theramite.
that bitch
that
Carol Baskin.
Carol Baskin.
I swear, if David Spade does not play him in a movie about, I will be disappointed.
I mean, I've already heard rumor of a season two of Tiger King. Apparently, there is a lot of other video out there, and I've also heard about scripted series based on characters in Tiger King.
None of it will ever be able to recreate the gold that we just witnessed.
Right. Well, it's kind of like season two of Making a Murderer was not as good as season one of Making a Murderer. Like, Tiger King is literally lightning in a bottle. You've captured it once. I don't think you can ever do it again.
Throw a cap on it and just let it expire.
Let it expire. Like that bitch Carol Baskin should expire. That's what I'm telling you.
Hello, cat and kittens.
Hey, cats and kittens. Hey, cool cats and kittens.
Cool. That's it. Cool cats and
cool
kittens.
Cool cats and kittens. Oh, it's a fucking train wreck. Fucking if you have not watched Tiger King on Netflix, please do so. You know what you need to do, Brian? I keep forgetting about this, and maybe we will do this prior to the next episode. We promised one of our listeners that we would watch 90 Day Fiancé and talk about it. I've actually seen the show before, but maybe we'll arrange to watch a few episodes of 90 Day Fiancé and talk about it on a future episode.
I'd be happy to. I was going to actually say we should watch Love is Blind.
I have watched Love is Blind, and if I could...
Oh, that bad?
Well, I've sat there while my wife... It's horrible. Oh, my God, it's horrible. And the people are horrible. Everyone's horrible. They're worse than... Married at First Sight is bad. I would say that Love is Blind, the people in that are even worse.
Then I don't want to watch it.
You root for coronavirus when you watch Love is Blind. You're like, you know what?
I thought Love is Blind.
We should be, we can be wiped off the planet. We don't deserve to be here.
Well, we deserve it.
All right. Anything else this week, my friend?
Just try to stay alive.
Don't end up on a forklift somewhere. That's our best advice for you moving forward.
Down by the river.
I was going to say, the forklift has become your living in a van down by the river. Hopefully there will be fewer forklifts in everybody's future. All right. Thanks for tuning in. As always, head to rodandbrianpodcast.com for all things Ron and Brian. We'll catch you next week.